Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored, and Tommy's sitting over there. What's up, man?
Making it, man. We're trying to get this thing figured out.
We need a producer. Like, you can skip everything else, but I need some guy that I can just yell at, yo, Mr. Producer, help me out here. We need a producer.
Yeah. Technical things aside, things are good. Things are going well. Excited to talk some fun game stuff today.
Says the guy that owns a PS5.
That's right.
Yeah, things are definitely going well. I am jealous.
We got stuff to talk about. I'm pretty pumped about that. So, PS5 in the house. Got a little bit of time under our belts, not a ton, but just a little bit. So, we've got tons to talk about on that front. So that's going to be a big chunk of today's show. Just be prepared for that. We'll mention a couple other things. Final Fantasy news. A lot of Final Fantasy news came out of the latest Sony State of Play. That's what they call them, right? Sony State of Play, which was almost 2 weeks ago
now. I never see those things that happen, and I just like totally miss them.
Yeah. This one wasn't much exciting other than Final Fantasy VII Remake stuff. Nothing about the next chapter, so that's obviously the big thing everybody's waiting for. So nothing on that front, but lots of fun, exciting news about the current chapter and some other games they're working on. So we'll talk that. The Bethesda Microsoft acquisition is finalized at this point. Everything has gone through, and we know a few more things about how that's going to work going forward. So we'll talk about that.
Don't
a few other things if we get to
suck.
It.
Don't make Fallout suck.
We could hope. We'll see what happens. There's a good chance it won't, right? They've got Bethesda and Obsidian under the same umbrella now, so we'll see what happens.
I hope they just give it all to Obsidian as they go.
Yeah, that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
I hope that's what they do, because those guys are great. But I will say, I've been on a little adventure this week. I've been on a little RPG adventure this week. And I have learned something that I did not previously really understand. And that is that the RPGs that you and I grew up on, D&D and Final Fantasy and Baldur's Gate and all of that type of stuff, you can't really find today. Like, it doesn't really exist today. And I'm gonna tell you the story, and y'all are gonna laugh because it's a totally me thing to do. But we've been talking about Cyberpunk for 6 weeks and how depressed we are about Cyberpunk, right? And so I decided to do a little research. And I talked about last week that I fired up GeForce Now and started playing the original Witcher game. And then I downloaded it and started messing around with it. And granted, folks, I've played a little bit of the Witcher throughout the years. All of them, I put a couple of hours into each of them, just enough to talk about it on this show. But after I downloaded the first game, I in earnest started putting time in it. And I realized that it's a living, breathing D&D game. And that's what Divinity Original Sin is, or what we've been told it is. I think the reason that we don't know is because you and I haven't really put enough time into it. But I will say this, that after 5 hours in the original Witcher game, I'm like, oh my gosh, I missed this, because it doesn't, like, it's those games aren't there anymore. Like I have talked about Horizon and how wonderful Horizon is, and Horizon is the most polished video game that I've played this year. It's not even close. It is the prettiest video game out there. It is the most well put together. But the backdrop, the bones, the stuff that makes it go is not this. And before you start telling me I'm crazy, a little nugget for you. I did not realize until I started researching, but did you know that at least the first Witcher game, and maybe the second, I need to look, but the first one for sure is built on a BioWare engine?
Really?
Yeah.
And I did not know that.
It, if you look in the credits of the game when it first boots up, it's a BioWare engine. And it, when you really look at it, there's a whole lot of similarities to a BioWare game. Now, I tell you guys all of this to say, I realize that it's a 13-year-old game, and I realize that there's a lot of stuff that has happened between then and now, but also I noticed that struggle is part of what CDPR deals with, and they always have. They did with The Witcher, because you and I talked about it this week. That first game was a mess when it first came out. Neither one of us could run it. It got a little better with The Witcher 2, and it got real good with The Witcher 3. And now we're back at square one with Cyberpunk, I think. And I wanted your two cents on that.
Yeah, I agree with that analysis for sure of the mess that the original Witcher game was initially.
Which, by the way, it's still a little buggy,
yeah,
but it's nowhere near what it was.
Sure.
Even the last time you and I tried to boot it up, which was 2 years ago.
And you would hope that's the case, right? Like, it has time under its belt at this point. It should be better than when it releases. So, yes, that's very true. The thing that's so infuriating about Cyberpunk is that they know how to put out a much better polished game. The Witcher 3 came out with bugs, too. It wasn't flawless. And to be fair, any open world game is going to have its share. It's just a really hard thing to do. And The Witcher 3 is pretty... It's not fully open world, and it's not fair to call it open world game strictly, I guess. But it's a pretty big world, right? It's got a lot of kind of open world elements to it. And so it had some bugginess to it when it came out. But it's nothing like what Cyberpunk is. Cyberpunk is the buggiest game I've played in forever. Like, I'm trying to think of the last time I played a game that was that buggy. And it's probably, honestly, the first Witcher game. And that was a game that was put out by a developer at the time that was unknown, that didn't have a track record, that was putting this Polish developer putting out this game based off of this Polish novel that, like, was completely obscure, right? And now CD Projekt Red is the company that put out the best game of 2016 or whenever The Witcher 3 came out.
Yeah.
Like,
they should be able to deliver a much higher quality thing. Now, obviously, Cyberpunk was ambitious, and they got in way over their heads on it. We can go back to all that now. But the idea that this is CD Projekt Red's MO, I would take a little bit of issue with. It was, and then they figured it out, and then they went back to it. You know, like they have proven that they could put out a good game. They just didn't this time. And that's unfair. They proved that they could put out a not buggy mess, and that's not true this time. They put out a good game. Cyberpunk's a good game. It has plenty of flaws, but it's a good game, but it's a buggy mess. Buggy mess. Even still, I mean, I was playing it last week before the PlayStation 5 got here. It's not going to get time for a while, but I was playing it earlier this week, really, and ran into buggy mess after buggy mess, and I'm just like, oh, this game's so good, and then it bugs out, and then it's good, and then it bugs out, and yeah, just constant struggle.
Well, I'm noticing what CDPR does really well that a lot of developers struggle with is that CDPR knows how to direct a game. They suck at the tech. They might suck at the implementation, but I'm going to tell you something. I have like, I don't know how many hours in the original Witcher right now. And it is like, it's one of those games. And I think the whole franchise is going to be this way, that I play it for 3 or 4 hours and then I turn it off. And I spend the next 3 or 4 hours thinking about when I get to turn it back on again, because it has all of that. It has old school RPG stuff in it I've never seen before in a video game. Okay, like for example, and it's the stupidest little thing, and then we'll move. But we all know that drinking and sex are a big deal in The Witcher. Yeah. But I've never...
And in Cyberpunk as well. This is a CD Projekt Red thing for sure.
But I have never seen them used the way they are in the Witcher universe anywhere else. And let me just give you an example of that. Like, I walk into an inn... And you get the option to drink with a guy. And so I'm like, I down a beer or whatever I have in my inventory. And then I ask the guy a question. He goes, I'm not telling you anything. And so I take another beer and I ask the guy a question. He goes, I'm not telling you anything. And so finally I look it up on the internet. And the purpose of those is to drink the guy under the table. And what really made me laugh, so like, it's not one beer, it's not two beers, it's like five or six. And like, by the time you get that done, you can't see, you can't walk, like, the controls are all screwed up. And I did that with this one guy. And he's like, yeah, I got this evil plant in my backyard. Can you take it out? And so I stumble out into this guy's backyard. I can't see anything. And I'm trying to attack this plant. The controls don't work. I mean, it's so well done. And it's so well from a direction standpoint. The entire thing is so well put together. I feel like when I'm in an inn or when I'm in a town or when I'm in somewhere, I feel like it's a D&D setting, and that's something that would happen in a D&D setting. It's wonderful.
Yes. This is maybe an unpopular take, but I think this may be true with Cyberpunk. Going off of that point that they know how to direct a game, if they would have made Cyberpunk a strong narrative game a la Naughty Dog, Uncharted or Last of Us kind of, you know, not on rails, but not open world, pretty strict level design, chapter kind of based progression, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
If they would have done that with Cyberpunk, with just the story as it is, and figured out a way to do side quests in that world, which would have been a little bit different, obviously. You don't really have tons of side quests in a Naughty Dog title or something, but maybe a little bit more like God of War. That's another Sony game, but I think is a little bit better. That's open world-ish, but not really open world. That they could have told their story in the way that they're so great at telling a story and had
and
avoided so much of the buggy stuff. That's just because they wanted to make this open world thing that they promised this big living, breathing world that they sure didn't deliver on that. That's the biggest disappointment in the game, is that it's supposed to be this big open world and it just feels lifeless as a big open world. But once you start talking to the main characters in the game, once you start doing the missions and all that stuff, it's stupid fun. It's great.
Yeah.
If they would have done that, they would have had something amazing. Now, it would have been a change from how they make games, because that's not really what the Witcher series is. But man, it could have been great, because you're dead right. They know how to tell a story. They know how to present a narrative. They know how to engage you and captivate you and really make it interesting.
And it's the little things, like I was talking to you. I don't know if I told you exactly what I was doing, but the fist fighting in the end, like I realized this week, is that The Witcher is everything that Peter Molyneux wanted Fable to be. Like, it has all that stuff.
With a lot more alcohol and nudity.
Yeah. It has the bare knuckle fist fighting. It has relationships. It has all of that stuff.
Yeah,
it's badly executed tech wise, but it's there and it's great.
Yeah, and so, the next two games, but I could speak especially for Witcher 3, obviously. But continue that. Do it in a different engine, because I looked that up. I was curious. Because the engine changes drastic from The Witcher 1. It's such a different game how it plays than 2 and 3 are. 2 and 3 are very similar, and they were built on the Red Engine, which is CD Projekt's, obviously, a proprietary engine. And so that made a difference in just the gameplay structure of those games. But man, again, and again, it's Cyberpunk too. They know how to tell a story, and that's what's genius about it. And if you can get over the bugs, you're in for a really good story. Cyberpunk, unfortunately, makes it really tough to get over those bugs. Anyway.
Well, the thing is that we've got so many games to play that when we eventually get back to Cyberpunk, it's going to be really good. That's how I feel about The Witcher. Right now, The Witcher is really good. It took it 10 years to get there, but it's really good.
Yeah, I'm going to get back to Cyberpunk before 10 years from now. But yes, I'm looking forward to it being patched. The one thing that's kind of killing me, it's the last time I played it, not knowing that I was about to pick up a PlayStation 5, and so I didn't find a good stopping point in the game. I'm just right in the middle of a mission. I'm like right in the middle of a shootout that I'm like trying to like stealth through in Cyberpunk. And I'm like, I really need to go back and finish that right now before like I just forget all the details of what I'm doing. And I fire it up in a couple of months. I'm like, oh crap, what's happening here? You know?
So, well, and that,
I'm going to fire it up again for at least just a little bit to get through this mission that I'm working on. But then it's taking a break.
And that will happen, because I told you I'm halfway through the second act in the original Witcher game, and I'm lost. Like, I had to go back a few hours and get some sort of structure, because there are just so many quests, so much stuff that, like, I don't know what to do, you know? And that will happen if you don't wrap it right now.
Yep. So that's going to happen, but then, like we said, it's going to take a break, because we got new toys to play with, and so we'll talk about that momentarily. Before we get into that, let me say big thanks for Patreon guys: Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavosh, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, and Andrew. Thank each and every one of you. If you want to go support us on Patreon, go to gamingcensored.com. You'll find the Become a Patron link there on the right side of the page. And then you can come hang out and watch us on video if you so choose.
We don't know why.
Just get your money. Yeah. It's still happening. We're still here. So, So all that said, let's talk about the PlayStation 5 for a little bit, because we just suddenly have a PlayStation 5 to talk about. So really quickly, I'll tell you the story of getting one. It's not super exciting, but as hard as they've been to get, it was in the moment really, really exciting. Right now is Sunday. I got it on Thursday, and so this is just had it for a couple of days at this point. But woke up Thursday morning and was just going through kind of, you know, normal morning internet routine stuff. And I see all the time either an alert or Twitter post or something like, oh, PS5's in stock at Best Buy or GameStop or whatever. And it said, you know, PS5's in stock at Target. Okay, cool. You know, like, I'll go check. There's no harm in checking. I've done this a billion times since December and it's never paid off. And so I don't think there's any more reason that's going to pay off this time. But I check and it just, like, for whatever reason, it gave me a little more hope than it usually did when I logged on to Target. And I tried to get one from, it says by store. And so each store has a certain allotment of PlayStation 5s, but you can only order them online. And so I tried like the one closest to me and no go. Okay, yep, that makes sense. Didn't expect it would probably work. Tried a couple more and no go. And okay, yeah, this is how it usually goes. But I live in Dallas-Fort Worth area. And so there are a billion Targets around. And so I was like, I'm just going to click through these, all of them that are within like 20 miles or whatever, you know, like that's a fairly decent radius. And there's probably 20 or 30 Targets within 20 miles of me. There's a ton of them. And so I just click through and I'm clicking through it. It goes a while. And everyone's a no-go. And I'm finally like, this isn't going to happen. And when I'm about to give up, I'm on, you know, I'm like, I'm going to do a few more. There's one, a Target that's, you know, 20-minute drive for me, but on my way to work. And so I know exactly where it is. It's on my commute, you know? And so I click on it and like, you know, add to cart. And it's like, all right, check out. I'm like, what? You know? So hit the button and it's like, hey, you got a PS5. And I'm like, I didn't. Like, no, like it definitely didn't happen. And so then it's like, well, I have it ready for you in a couple hours. I'm like, ah, there's the catch, you know, like you're going to tell me it's going to be ready for me in a couple hours. That's never going to happen. I'm never going to get that little alert. So I'm like, whatever. And so I'm kind of watching it on the app because I have the Target app. And I've saved a bunch of money on it from Target because we have like the Target card because we shop at Target all the time, whatever. And so we had like points and whatever. And so it was a little bit cheaper. It basically just knocked off the tax. I got it for $500 with tax, which was nice because tax is expensive on $500 piece of hardware.
Yeah.
Anyway, just watching the app and it's like processing and it's like, it's ready for you. I'm like, okay, you know, but like, I'm going to take this 20-minute drive to try it because I want a PS5. And so sure enough, me and Genevieve pack up because she was hanging out with me all week because we were both on spring break. And so we pack up and head out to Target. And like, I'm going up to Target and like, there's people walking out with PS5s, you know, like walking out of the store. And I'm like, I think this is actually going to happen. And sure enough, walk in, show the guy my code. He like walks around the corner and comes out with a PS5 and just hands it to me. He's like, there you go. And I'm like booking it to the car. Cause I'm like, there's some other shoe about to drop here. This was way too easy for this thing I've been trying to get for months now, literally. And so for everybody else that's been trying to get them, the light at the end of the tunnel is pretty close at this point. If I just stumbled on one, they're getting easier to get, which is super exciting.
You needed the Final Fantasy battle music or like,
I know, right?
The Zelda chess music or something. Like, you needed something there.
I kid you not, at one point, and it would have been great if I could have got her to do this. At one point, I had gotten Genevieve to sing the victory music from Final Fantasy. Da 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 da, you know. And so if I could have gotten her to do that in that moment, it would have been amazing. Would have been fantastic. So that said, brought a PS5 home and got it hooked up and going, and we've been able to play with it a little bit at this point. And so good and bad about it. The biggest, you know, downside at this point, which is true of any new console generation, but feels even more pronounced on this one. So there's just not tons of content that's specific to it, right? Right. And so I picked up Demon's Souls because I've never played a Souls game, which seems crazy given the popularity of Souls games, especially amongst people like us. So figured that would be a good one since it is a PS5 exclusive. It is optimized for PlayStation 5. So picked up that and then picked up Miles Morales with the remastered Spider-Man. And so those two things being kind of PS5 centric, being PS5 optimized is pretty exciting. And so played a little bit of both of those at this point, and visually they're awfully pretty. Spider-Man looks better.
I've noticed that I've only watched a few minutes of Spider-Man because I was in the process of doing that this afternoon before we tried to get the show going, and it took 40 minutes. I watched about 12 minutes of that DLC, and what I can really say to y'all is that stuff looks more blingy and smoke looks more smoky.
That's
pretty much
that's where I was going to go with kind of the visual fidelity that I've noticed at this point, both with Spider-Man and then also with playing Demon's Souls, which I, you know, obviously it's a remake of a game that came out a long time ago. And so it's hard to compare kind of apples to apples there, but Spider-Man's a lot easier because that's a much more recent game that we played on the PS4. The big things I noticed, because we're really at a point in gaming where, like, things are really pretty, right? Like, the PS4 is a great-looking console, and so the improvements at this point are marginal, but importantly marginal, you know? And so the things that I really notice are smoke effects, which both of those games do and do really well, and lighting effects. Just the lighting and the tone of lights and the definition of lighting sources, and obviously with ray tracing and reflections and that kind of stuff, like, they're little things. They're not like the difference between, say, Final Fantasy VII on the PlayStation 1 and Final Fantasy VII Remake on the PlayStation 4. Like, those are massive differences. We're never going to have those kind of massive differences again, I don't imagine, unless we get, like, to photorealism all the time, which is going to be so uncanny valley and uncomfortable. I don't know that we want to get to that point. And so we're never getting that kind of change again. And so the change we get now is this really, you know, fine detail change that I was kind of skeptical about. But, man, it really looks a lot better. Like, Spider-Man, I've just been really surprised by it. It's not a drastic change, and Spider-Man on the PlayStation 4 was a beautiful game. But I kind of, like, I had to go back and find, like, a YouTube video because I was like, this just looks really good. Is this what it looked like before? Like, it looks really good. And I did it side by side. It looks better. Like, it's an improvement and in a noticeable way. But yeah, the original looked great. This one looks great too. It just looks a little bit better. I'm okay with that.
What's crazy to me is that we're at the point where we have to start digging for stuff.
Yes.
Like I'm watching you play all this crap on YouTube. And I'm like, I think that smoke looks better. I don't think that smoke was there last time.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that reflection wasn't there the last time we played this. Like, I think that reflection's kind of new.
Yep.
And I haven't actually seen you, like, velcroed to the side of a building looking at yourself in the glass yet. Like, that's what I'm waiting for, that shot.
Yeah, I've done a little bit of that because it's really fun to just kind of pan around and see the reflection of Spider-Man up against the glass. It's cool. Like, it's gimmicky in a way because it's like, who cares if you can see a reflection of the glass? But I care. Like, it's fun.
Look, I'm gonna say something, and I've been thinking about this the last couple of days because I'm playing old games, and you don't have time to play games anymore. Yeah. But when you walked into your house with that PS5, I'm gonna tell you what I felt. The PS5 feels like the new console that we have always grown up with, like, you know that new console day.
Yes.
And you texted me, you're like, I got a PS5, and you're in the process of hooking it up, and I saw the first couple videos. I'm like, it's new console day. It's a new console.
Yes.
And I don't think I would feel that way about the Xbox. I told you that we need to find me an Xbox because I have the accessibility controller.
For
thank
sure.
you, Warfighter Engage. Thank you guys so much for that. I feel like we need to find me an Xbox, but it's not gonna feel like that.
Yeah.
The PS5 feels like new console day.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, there was something about it, and even just setting up, and the fact that the thing is so freaking big, too. Like, it just, it's such a, like, imposing presence in my little, like, console space. Like, holy crap, like, this thing just takes up, like, half the wall over here. It's so big. It's not silent. It runs not super loud. But when the fan gets going, you hear it. And I have it right next to where I sit and play. And so it's not like an entertainment center or something like that. It's sitting just right next to me. And so I very much notice it. It's quieter than the PlayStation 4. But the PlayStation 4 was like a jet engine. Yeah. So this isn't quite that loud. But it's not silent. It's, like I said, it's really big. It's not perfect in its design and everything else. But it's not bad by any means. It works great. The controller is super cool. I'm a big fan of the DualSense so far. I have played a little bit of what's it called, Astro's Playroom or whatever.
Yeah,
it is.
That thing was cool. I enjoyed that.
That's really fun. That it's like just a platformer that's really there to kind of show off all the stuff that you can do with the controller. And so like it makes you utilize like the motion control aspect of it that they introduced with the 6-axis. There's nothing new about that. That's been true since the PlayStation 3 and the touchpad that they added with the PlayStation 4 that still works the same way and all that kind of stuff. But the adaptive triggers, that's the only thing so far that's used the adaptive triggers. Neither Spider-Man nor Demon's Souls has used the adaptive triggers. And so I'm like, come on guys, there's this cool new feature, utilize it in some way. Maybe Miles Morales does. I don't know. I haven't started that yet. But The Astro's Playroom using the adaptive triggers is super cool. Like it like finally getting that kind of tactile experience with it of feeling the triggers. And it uses it in a couple of different ways of just giving you some resistance. There's a point where you get like a bow and arrow, and so you can feel it, you know, it like has resistance against you. But there's also this like wall climbing section that like you have to use the triggers and you have to like move the controller, kind of mock moving your hands like you're climbing up a wall.
Oh.
And you have to pull the triggers while you're doing it to grab. And so it's like this weird kind of coordinated effort. But as you're doing that,
why when you were doing that right there, why all of a sudden do I hear John Jacob Jingleheimer Smith in my head?
John Jacob Jingleheimer.
Yeah,
that seems fair.
Yeah.
But there's this portion of that where there's like the handholds that you're gripping on as you're climbing up the side of this wall. Like there's ones that fall if you squeeze too tight on the triggers. And so like there's like you have to kind of like feel out how tightly you can squeeze the trigger before you pull it off. And so there's not only like the trigger pushing back against you, but there's also this level of kind of finesse that it makes you use for a different application. I'm really excited to see other developers use that in fun and interesting ways. It could be just a new kind of, you know, one of those tactile experiences. The vibration haptics are fine or great, or, you know, it doesn't blow my mind or anything, but the controller feels good. It's a little big, and I noticed this. I posted on the Facebook page a picture of Genevieve playing Spider-Man. She played Spider-Man for like half an hour last night. I was trying to play Spider-Man, and she just wanted to play. And so she got to, because that's how things work in the house here. So, but she can't, you know, she's 3, and so she can't get her hands around that controller yet because it's a pretty substantial controller. It feels bigger in your hand than any previous PlayStation controller does, for sure. I like that. I'm a fan of big controllers. By maybe one of my favorite controllers of all time is the original Xbox controller, that super big chunky controller. I love that thing. So I like a big controller in my hands. And this is, it feels like a big controller. It feels to me, because of that, better than what the PlayStation 4 controller did, or the 6-axis on PlayStation 3 or whatever it is. It's a good controller. I'm really digging that part of it. And it feels next gen. Like that feels like an upgrade from the previous generation. The one other thing I'll mention that feels next gen is those loading times, and especially playing a game that I've played before. So playing Spider-Man and doing fast travel in Spider-Man, it's not instant, and the game still load. But the quick resume thing is super cool. And so I just have, like, you know, all the games like kind of in their save state, and I can just switch between them. Super cool. Love that, because of how I play games. That's a really, really handy feature. But the like fast travel in Spider-Man, that's like, shows you on like the subway and then you're there like in the original game, I barely ever used fast travel because the fast travel loading just took forever. And it just was like, why am I going to use fast travel when it takes as long to fast travel as it does to just to get across the city? And the web slinging component's fun. But honestly, like, I'd rather not always just have to web sling across the city when I don't have to at this point, because I've done that a ton in this game. Now that fast travel is truly fast, like when you click on it, it's literally just maybe 5 seconds through the whole process and you're there. Yeah, now I'm going to use fast travel. You know, like now that's a thing that I dig and works great. And that's all on that solid state drive and seeing that performance happen. That feels next gen too. That feels like something that the previous generation of console couldn't do.
And that is a big deal when I can visually see it. Because when you fast traveled earlier, I saw just a little bit of that. And I literally counted in my head, okay, 1, 2, 3, because like on the PlayStation 4, it's like 20 seconds.
Yeah, it takes forever.
Yeah.
You get like this cool little scene. They did a good job with it of these little like engaging like things on the subway, and each one of them is a little different. So you get these fun little loading kind of transitions or whatever. That was great. It is good when you have to have load times, but now they don't have to have those load times. And so those little transitions just happen really quick and you still get them. And there's still a little loading screen that happens before it. And so like you say, you want to fast travel, it pops up a loading screen. You get a little circle that goes around for a second or two. And then it goes to like the little subway thing and you get that for a second or two and then you're there. And so it still isn't instant, but it's really quick. And again, it feels like fast travel at that point. They probably could do it quicker if they wanted to, but they're trying to preserve that like transition thing that they spent time right on putting in the game. So whatever. It's good. And Demon's Souls fires up really quick as well and looks and works and plays great and all that kind of stuff. And so just the tech wise is great. Now I'm excited for more software that's going to take advantage of it, because there's not just a ton at this point. But between Spider-Man DLC, which this is, let me talk about Spider-Man for just a second. I don't go back to games often. I don't go back to DLC a ton.
I'm hoping you go back to this because I'm excited.
Yeah, I think it's specific to Spider-Man. I was a little worried about this because my hesitancy a lot of times in going back to games is essentially just having to relearn how the game plays, you know? And like once I've spent a lot of time in a game and really have kind of my play style figured out and everything else, it's not appealing to me to go back to it when I don't have that muscle memory anymore. And when I first picked up Spider-Man the other day, again, I was like, this is going to be a grind. And I was like, maybe I'm just going to jump right into Miles Morales. But I was like, I really want to see the remaster. I really want to see this world, you know, before I go to Miles Morales. And the DLC comes with the remaster. And so it's just there. It's easy, whatever. And so I fired it up and I kind of, you know, was like, okay, how do I web sling? And it took me a little bit. I was like, okay, here's jump. And then I press like 5 buttons. I'm just falling. And I'm like, okay, well, none of those buttons are it, you know? But once I figured it out, I was like, oh yeah, this is it. And then the muscle memory kicked in really fast. And then I got into a fight and I was like, okay, this is the part where I'm going to feel really off. And the fighting just came back in an instant. I was like, oh yeah, this fighting mechanic is super fun. And then I was like, this game is just really fun. Like the web slinging thing is super fun. The fighting is super fun. Like it's not a cerebral game like playing Demon's Souls. That's way more tactical. Like it's all about, you know, block and parry and timing attacks and all that kind of stuff. Like there's obviously that component of Spider-Man, but it's arcadey. And so it's a lot more fun. Not to say Demon's Souls isn't fun. That's maybe not the right word to use there, but it's a lot more gratifying in its own way.
Demon's Souls is direct. You have to be extremely direct when you play Demon's Souls. You have to be intentional in what you do with Demon's Souls.
Yes. And Spider-Man is a little bit more organized chaos, right?
I'm glad that you feel that way because, like I said, I've only seen about 10 minutes. Like I've only seen about 10 to 15 minutes of that first little DLC bit, and I think there's nearly an hour up there. But I immediately geeked out because I've talked about it before on the show. I'm a comic book guy, and the way that they did the DLC and I hope they stick with this, but the way that they did the DLC is it's not like Fallout style, like you're in the world and you're like zooming around and then you load up some DLC and it's like, hey, there's a new signal or whatever. No, what they did was you load up the DLC and it's like another issue of the comic book was the feeling that I got.
Yeah.
Okay, like you're reading the next issue of what you've been working on, and it's fabulously well done.
It is. And it's engaging. The story so far is fun. It's just like the original game story, just kind of a continuation with you know, bringing back different characters, whatever. But we won't get into that so much right now. We'll talk about it more after we both have some more time in it. But it's just well done. It's just such a good, solid game. Like, it's just a really well put together game. And so now I'm pumped to play through the DLC, which I've got a chunk of time into at this point, and then really pumped to fire up Miles Morales. And
yeah,
that's going to be the, like, I kind of bounced back and forth between Demon's Souls and Spider-Man for a bit, trying to figure out which one I was going to pursue first. And then once I finally got into Spider-Man a little bit, I was like, okay, this is it. This is so fun. You know, like, it's just a blast.
Okay, I think I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Did you buy the headphones?
No, I'm not at this point bought the headphones.
Okay, the reason I bring that up was that the audio on the YouTube is not great. It's very clearly stereo.
Sure.
And I know that you don't really have the space to do a true 5.1. And so now I'm wondering about that 3D, the 3D audio that they're pushing with those headphones. I'm wondering what that sounds like. I'm very curious.
Me too. I'm really, really interested. I've played a lot with 3D audio stuff as part of my job. And so I'm kind of familiar with the technology and how they make that work. And so seeing specifically how Sony does it and how much customization they allow and that kind of stuff, I'm really interested in. I haven't got a chance to play with that yet. I do want to get their headphones at some point. It's the first time I can ever remember wanting to actually use like a game company's peripherals, you know, other than their controllers or whatever.
And
like, usually I have no interest in that, but I really do want to see what their headphones sound like.
And can I be honest? I want a pair for SharePlay.
Oh yeah.
And we stumbled onto this, the first couple videos that you did, I heard inside your house and I was like, wait, hey, they're talking about, ooh, he doesn't realize the mic is on.
Yeah, so good learning experience. If you get a PlayStation 5 and you want to broadcast anything you're playing, the default setting is your mic on your controller is live all the time. So there is a mute button on the controller. Hey, I didn't even realize that until later. It's just,
if you doubt, trust me, ladies and gentlemen, it's real good.
It picks up. Yeah. I went back and listened to it. And I'm like, oh yeah, there's like my life, you know, just like conversations I'm having with the sexy sidekick, Genevieve in the background, whatever. Yeah, that was not intentional for sure. So.
And that was the first thing I did was text you and be like, bro, you got a lot of mics because I knew you didn't know.
Yep. For sure. So good to know if you pick up a PlayStation 5, that mic on that controller works. We can attest to it.
So I'm real excited because I have no business getting a PS5 because the adapter is going to be a while. And even when it does, I'm not going to be able to use the benefits of the controller because I don't have that fancy tech. So I have no business getting a PS5, but I want one because I want those headphones and I want that controller. And I see massive potential for like Patreon content and like extra stuff of just you and I talking through stuff, and you guys don't watch that when we're sitting in a room together. But I think this is going to be slightly different, because if we have all the tech on both sides, I think it's going to be a really interesting experience.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it could be for sure. And like we said, so far the tech is really fun. And just it's more games to play, which is never a bad thing. So we've got more games to play. So all that said, we do have a bit of other news that we'll get to for the day. A lot of which is going to be Final Fantasy VII. We're a little bit late to this because this happened just directly after our last show the next day. But it's worth talking about because we've spent a whole lot of time recently talking about Final Fantasy VII Remake. And so now we've got some details about what's going to happen with the PlayStation 5 version of Final Fantasy VII Remake. And so they announced what they're calling Final Fantasy VII Remake Intergrade, because Square Enix really likes these ridiculous names.
Intergrade.
Intergrade is the
idiots.
Right? Yeah. But that's the PlayStation 5 optimization of Final Fantasy VII Remake. And so it's obviously going to be prettier, has all the PlayStation 5 kind of upgrade stuff. And so that's great. But the other thing that it has is a new episode that features Yuffie from the original game. Yeah, right?
Wow.
And so you play as Yuffie in this new episode. I don't know how long this episode is going to be. But as, again, I just talked about how I rarely go back to games. This one, specifically because it's a free upgrade if you already own it on PlayStation 4. So, duh. But outside of that, the fact that they're adding content in, I will absolutely go back to this and play that content. We talked about it a lot, but I loved every bit of this game. And so give me more as soon as you can give me more, and giving me more with a character from long ago that I remember and am interested to see how they integrate into this new world. Yeah, I'm 100% on board with this.
Now, I will tell you, because I figured this out, if you are a PlayStation Plus member, it's available as for PlayStation Plus, but if you get the PlayStation Plus version, the PlayStation Plus version is not eligible for the upgrade.
That
so
is correct.
What I'm hoping is that they say, okay, you have the version on PlayStation Plus, give us $10, $15, whatever it is, and we'll give you the upgrade. I hope they do that, because I hadn't gotten a game on PlayStation Plus in several months because we hadn't talked about it, and I forget to look.
I know.
There's no telling what I've lost as far as game availability, but I saw that and I immediately went and got it, and I really hope they offer that. Hey, give us whatever the number is and you can have the upgrade, because that's awesome on PlayStation Plus.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, if you haven't played Final Fantasy VII Remake, you have any interest at all, if you have a PlayStation Plus membership, you can go pick it up for free this month, and that's a no-brainer. Again, you're going to have to pay for that upgrade. And I'm reading the fine print right now. Apparently, the Yuffie episode isn't included in the free upgrade. It's just the PS5 optimization. So who knows what that's going to cost? I'm going to pay for it. Doesn't really matter. I'm here for it. So they announced that, and then they actually announced two more games in the Final Fantasy VII universe. Neither one of them is Remake Part 2, and so we're still waiting to see what the details on Remake Part 2 are. But these are both mobile games, one coming out next year, one coming out at this point, looks like 2022. The one that's coming out next year is a Battle Royale Final Fantasy VII game. Which just sounds awful. The worst.
See, this right here is why I play games from 12 years ago. This is why, because this crap didn't exist.
Yeah.
That is the worst idea.
To be fair, Who's in 2021 saying, you know what we need later this year? A new Battle Royale game. You know?
Yeah.
Isn't that world kind of
done? Like, I mean, like, doesn't Fortnite just own that? Like, why do, like, I don't know. I can't imagine this being a thing.
I can just hear the marketing discussion. Like, we need to get some of them Final Fantasy 7 gigs to YOLO. So, you know, let's get them a little battle royale. They need to learn what that's about. So. Yeah.
The overlap between Final Fantasy VII people and Fortnite people, I don't know. Maybe there's a lot of them out there. It's not us. So that's coming and whatever. And if it's fine, it's going to focus on the soldier kind of side of things and like a bunch of people playing as different soldiers in a battle royale world. I don't know. They haven't released a ton of details yet, so who knows. But the other one they announced, I'm legit excited about. And this one I wish was coming sooner. This is the one that's coming in 2022 at some point. So we're still a year plus out from this one. But this is called Final Fantasy VII Ever Crisis, which, okay, as far as names go, it's not their worst. It's better right. than Intergrade. Yeah. But the concept of it is it's the entire Final Fantasy VII storyline, including... the original game, obviously, but then also Advent Children, Crisis Core, Before Crisis, and Dirge of Cerberus, all put into one game on your mobile platform in a kind of hybrid, upgraded original Final Fantasy VII look, 3D. It's very much... How do you explain it? I'm trying to figure out the best way to say it. It's what, like, if you just did a strict Final Fantasy upgrade of the original game, not a remake like they did, but if you just tried to take the original look, the kind of top-down, spiky-haired cloud look, and make it look like it was a game that was coming out in 2022, that's what they did with it. And so it looks good. It's really nostalgic because it looks more like the original Final Fantasy VII than the remake does. And it's that whole freaking storyline, much of which I haven't played. I haven't ever played Crisis Core. And so, like, we've gone and done some research about it because you need to know that those details to understand Final Fantasy VII Remake. Putting that all out in a mobile game, and it's probably going to be stripped down, and so I don't think it's going to be, you know, 50 hours of Final Fantasy VII in the true kind of original RPG way that was. But on a mobile game, I honestly don't want that. I kind of want the streamlined effect and give me the story and all those details and everything else. And I think it's brilliant. I'm more excited about that than anything else they announced.
I feel like you just spent the last 5 minutes trying to explain Interstellar, but I think I got it. I think I got it. That sounds really cool. And I'm not... Because I can't hold the phone. I'm not a phone gamer, but that's really cool.
Yeah. You can, in the show notes, they have some screenshots that you can see kind of comparison of what the original looked like, what Ever Crisis looks like, and what Final Fantasy VII Remake looks like. This one is specifically in Tifa's bar. And so you can just see the differences, and it's great. It's such a cool style that's kind of halfway in between the original game and what the remake looks like. Like, it's that kind of what would happen if you found the perfect middle between those two styles. That's the style of Ever Crisis, and I think it's going to be super cool. So just bummed we have to wait another year plus before we get it. So
that's technology for you. So real quick to wrap this up. Your takeaways from the first few days of the PlayStation 5, meaning you just spent a chunk of money, which is not normally your favorite thing to do. How do you feel?
You know, feel okay because a lot of it was Patreon money.
Thank you, Patreon guys. Yeah.
So that takes the sting off a bit. We appreciate y'all sending us money in this. Send us more. Feel free. We'll take it,
please. For sure.
And it gives us excuses to play games, which is always a good thing. The next thing on the list is picking up an Xbox at some point. I mentioned at the top of the show, the Bethesda Microsoft acquisition is finalized.
That means a couple of things. One is that a whole bunch of Bethesda games are now on Game Pass, which is super freaking cool. And so you can access a lot
it's
of
too
games.
Too bad we own them all, but you know.
I know, right? There are a few that I don't like, all the ones I really want to play, but we own. But you know, in the future, that's going to be really, really nice too. They also means that we've gotten some hint of exclusivity going forward. We already know that a couple of games that were already slated to come out on PlayStation 5 as exclusives are going to stay that way, notably Deathloop, which I've seen ads on recently and looks super cool. But also Ghostwire Tokyo are coming as timed exclusives, not all the way exclusives for PlayStation 5, but timed exclusives on PlayStation 5. But Phil Spector did say that there will be some new titles. The specific quote is, quote, including some new titles in the future that will be exclusive to Xbox and PC players. And so what those titles are, what they decide to do with you know, Elder Scrolls, with Fallout, with whatever, we'll see. But they're going to utilize the fact that they own those IPs now, and you're going to see those either exclusively on Xbox or on Xbox first going forward.
Give me an over under. How long do you think it's going to be before somebody tries to buy CD Projekt, and who do you think's going to get it?
I gotta imagine that there's been offers already, right?
Right.
Surely those conversations have to be happening. I think maybe those conversations have changed after Cyberpunk,
yeah.
Right?
Now they need some help.
Yeah, maybe that's actually made it somewhat more aggressive, where a company like Ubi.
Yeah.
You know, like I feel like the Cyberpunk world kind of fits into what Ubi does, at least in kind of tone. And so maybe Ubi makes some sense there. And Ubi has the open world background for sure, you know, like say Cyberpunk 2. Like
the thing with Ubi is they don't have the grit. That's the
right
thing.
That's what Cyberpunk brings, and that's where, or what CD Projekt Red brings, and that you kind of could make the best of both worlds. What I worry is that we get into like a BioWare thing, right, where like it gets acquired by Ubi or EA or whoever it is, and then like in 10 years we're like, what do they do now? I don't think we talked about it, but did we talk about, yeah, I think we did on the last show, talk about that they've scrapped Anthem at this point,
right.
That they're just moving on from that, you know, like that's just a hard thing. I don't want to see happen to CD Projekt Red titles, but at the same time, I don't want to see what happened with Cyberpunk happen to CD Projekt Red titles. So them on their own isn't necessarily a better option.
Well, and the thing is, and I didn't mention this on the show, but in my old school RPG dig up thing, I fired up Dragon Age because I had that on a hard drive, and there she comes. and so I put some mods on that, and that game holds up really well. Like, I would like you to see it. Hey, babe, how are you? Are you good?
Did you go to the park? Mm-hmm. You smell like outside.
Awesome.
You smell like you've been outside. Yeah.
What did you find at the park?
What did you do at the park?
I played with a friend.
You played with a friend? Mm-hmm. You gotta stay right here, love.
I'm glad that you got friends. Your dad's the only friend I've got. I'm glad you got friends.
She's really good at making friends.
Okay.
She's the opposite of me in that way.
Good.
I am the eternal introvert. She is completely extroverted. Not completely extroverted, but she's quite extroverted. So
yeah.
She's good at making friends, which is great.
I'm glad. You look really pretty today.
Can you say thank you?
Thank you.
Where are you going? Hey, hold on. There's like cords and stuff over here. All right. Nope. You can't draw on that. That's Mama's notes. something else here in just a little bit. But for right now, you need to come talk to Jamie.
So what are you going to do with your dad today? Have you been playing games?
Did you play Spider-Man? Can you tell Jamie about Spider-Man? She is not interested in us at this point.
Okay, so
we found a fidget cube.
Let's try one more time here.
Awesome. Video game.
Hey, can you tell Jamie about playing Spider-Man? What'd you do in Spider-Man?
She's like, yeah, I'm not talking to him.
No, you're shy.
No, you're shy. You're never shy. Now you're shy.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. We're going to eat ice cream? Mm-hmm. All right.
What kind of ice cream?
I'm going to eat sprinkle and chocolate.
Chocolate and sprinkles.
I like it. I want some chocolate and sprinkles.
That sounds great, huh? Mm-hmm.
Okay, babe, are you ready to say goodbye to the people?
You remember what we say at the end of the show? What do we say?
Bye.
Say, this is Gaming Uncensored, and we're out.
We're out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingUncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.